we are talking about how to bear fruit. There's only one single way to be connected to Jesus. Now, I want you to just forget all the religiosity, everything, and focus to be connected to Jesus. And then you don't even focus on, I want to bear fruit. I want fruit. How do I get fruit? Forget all of that. Just, you need to make everything you can to be connected, linked up to Jesus. Full stop. That's it. You can go home. That's it. That's how we get to be fruitful.
Let's see. I see. Here we go. Huh? That helps. Huh? There we go.
When we grow in Jesus, then our fruit will grow without any effort. That is great. You know, the apple tree doesn't go and the apples grow. No, it just happens naturally, so easy. The apple tree is just standing there doing nothing, plugged in to this good soil, and everything else just happens. Isn't that great?
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is how you and I bear fruit. Because then it happens through the Spirit of God. Everything else is self-effort. You know, when you try, trust me, I've tried many times in my life. You want to, and it's all good intentions. And, you know, it's kind of this youthful trying and all that, you know, full of life, I want to go for it. But then you realize more and more, no, you don't really need to do too much. Just be connected to Jesus and everything else just happens. Just yesterday I was in Pittsburgh on the streets, and it was really great actually. And when I came back, I said to Donna, well, that was just so easy today. It was just great. You know, it just happened. I just was just so normal with the people, sitting next to them, chatting to them, praying for them. It was just so normal. You know, I found it's the easiest when you're just normal. When you're just you. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. That's it. People don't want this religion, you know, religious faith. And yes, you know, you need to repent and you need to get saved. What does that mean? You know, just be normal, love them, and things happen. The Bible says, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. When we interpret this verse, then it would mean that the end product is to be like him. How can we become like he is if we do what he did? Trust me, this is my biggest desire in my life, and I pray nearly every day. I want to be like you. To be like he is. To react like he reacts. To feel like he feels for other people. Just to become like he is. On a very practical level, in family life, among friends, in church, outside of church, in big problems, in the streets, in big crusades, wherever, just to be like he is. We read, abide in me and I in you. What does that mean? Let us interpret this verse with the Bible itself. That's always the best interpretation. And the explanation we actually find in 1 John. And it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Wow! This is mind-blowing! You mean to walk like Jesus walked 2,000 years ago? Is it a misprint? Wow, this is really amazing. If you believe that, then you will be challenged. Well, I am. That means to care for people how he cared. That means to pray for people like he prayed. That means to bear fruit like he bore fruit. You know, fruit has got two purposes. Firstly, we produce fruit so that others can eat it. You don't even produce fruit for yourself. You do it for others around us. Secondly, to let the seeds grow in your fruit. If other people around you eat your fruit, they eat the seeds with it. If they eat the seeds of your fruit, then these seeds have great potential to grow in their lives too. And this is amazing. This is reproduction. I give you an example. There was once a missionary somewhere on a mission station in Africa, and there was another lady there, and because that missionary was just such a great example of a Christian life, just a real role model, and she was always praising God, she was just having that smile of God on her lives. And then the other lady prayed to God, give that missionary once a really good dose of flu, and I want to see if she still behaves like that. What a prayer of a Christian on a mission station. But it happened. She did get a real bad flu. And she coughed and coughed and coughed. And she filled tissues after tissues. She was very, very unwell. And you know what? She praised God exactly in the same way. She lived the same way as if she didn't have anything. And that made an impression on the lady who prayed. And you know what? The fruit of it was that that lady wanted to become like the missionary. The seeds can grow of the fruit in your life. I found out that faith is literally the foundation for the fruit of the Spirit and all those characteristics we have looked at. If we don't believe that, then it's impossible to achieve it. Our whole Christian life is based on faith. Abide in me and I in you. We can only put this verse into practice when we seek God with all our hearts. Now let's be very practical. Let's look at the end result of a fruit. I mean, there's so many fruits, a whole fruit salad. It is nothing new for us that Jesus loved people. But he loved people in situations where we would maybe find it hard to love them. When Jesus spoke to Peter after the resurrection, he didn't say, Simon, where have you been when I needed you most? Where have you been? Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Coco doo-doo-doo! And you, God, you always proclaim in front of everybody how much you love me with your word. Everybody, anybody can just keep smooth words out? Evidence is what I want to see, not just words. Did Jesus speak like that? No. I probably would have. Everybody just deserting me when I needed the most. Jesus did not do that. Praise God. He sees our fellow human beings with different eyes. And we need to pray that we will have the same heart as Jesus. That we can see people with different glasses. So when Mr. A looks at Mr. B, Miss A could think, what a horrible being. And you see Mr. A as a wonderful image of God. Why? Because of your glasses. If Jesus touches that, put the dose of love into it, you will be alright to see Mr. A how he really is, how he's viewed by God. I've been in different situations where I literally felt I need to jump over my own shadow. Anybody did that before? No. Good. I'm glad to hear that. It was impossible for me. It was absolutely impossible. And I thought, God, how can I love this person? Nobody else can. And it was like, you know, I used to do long jump. It was like I would jump over a river 10 meters wide. According to the law of gravity, no chance to make it. Somewhere down in the river of the 5 meters. Look, look, look. Well, you know what I did? Nearly. I got on the back one day, and I started, and I jumped. By faith. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. I jumped by faith. Now, when I jumped, I felt like God took me with his hand and carried me over the last bit, which I couldn't do. Now, this is how we overcome impossible situations. And you can apply that principle to everything in life. Sometimes God puts you in a position where there is no way out, only by faith. And I could tell you a few stories about on that. And I tell you, it works. And if you get wet in the river, it's actually not that bad. Why? Because God is gracious. He will give you another chance. You've got usually 3 jumps in long jumping in athletics. Anyway, I still want to actually give you this picture here where I want to say, if you ask God and say, Lord, make me like you, help me to love people, or whatever your problem is you want to overcome, and you ask God with all your heart, he will give you the training field for it. He may give you somebody, he may lead a person into your life who you can't stand, and already you've got your training field. He does, he's excellent in that. Excellent, he's the wine dresser. Our Heavenly Father is the wine dresser. This belongs to before. He's the wine dresser, and he changes our circumstances and situation so that we have the greatest potential of bringing fruit. He goes, clips, out. And then he waits. He gives you recovering time. And then he comes again with his scissors, and you go, no, not this one, this hurts the most, please choose another one. Clip, ow. It may hurt just for a while. But the fruit in the end is tremendous. And this is what you and I need to have in focus when you feel the clip, when you feel the pain, the I don't want that. If you have got the right focus, it is easier to get through the process. There was once a Christian. He was very much aware of that, at least in the back of his mind. And he was a baseballer. And he was extremely good. And he joined a team. And because he was so good, everybody was just marveling about this baseballer. But then some got really jealous and they spread wrong rumors about him. And the coach just released him, and exempted him of the team. And that was a big shock for him, because he didn't do anything wrong. Now, what did he do? The season has already started. He couldn't join any other team. The summer was here. He went down every week by himself to the pitch. And he trained, and he trained. He did it for God. He lived his life for God. This was his focus. And you know, one day, another coach passed by and saw his talent. And he said, come join our team. And he found out, wow, this team is on a much higher level than the one I played before. That is amazing. You see, in the end, God gave him a much better opportunity than at the beginning. But listen, he had a choice. He could have said, no, that is just not right. I have done everything. I tried so hard. I walked innocently. And they just picked me up. But he didn't go down that path. And I'm telling you, I know many people react wrongly in that situation. I know. I do a lot of counseling, and I know that this is a bad path. It ends up just with that. It starts just with that, but where it ends up a few years later, that thing which was expected against God grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And it looks ghastly and ugly, and it's not easy to get it out of the system after a few years. But praise God, he did do the right thing. Now, when the Israelites conquered Jericho, God gave the following command. You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So the fruit was Jericho conquered. The way how to do it is to trust God against all logic. I mean, God deliberately ordered them not to talk, because the circumstances only would have produced bad things coming out of their mouths. Unbelief. Impossible. And it would have just spread like a cancer. Imagine. They go around Jericho. All the way. All the way. One time, nothing happened. And then the second day, the second time, the whole army round Jericho. Nothing happened. The third day, all around, the whole army, nowhere. You go, please don't go seven times. And then, they may have thought, these people in Jericho, what weird people. They may have looked over the wall and said, can they not talk? Let's try. Maybe they took a stone and just threw it down. And then it maybe have landed on a helmet, bing! Then maybe on another helmet, bong! Maybe the xylophone was invented then. And then, first time, storms, spring, nothing happened. All the way, seven times. And then, shout! And the whole thing collapsed! Wow! You know what? Our colleges have found out that the walls fell on both sides. So that the Israelites could go over it like a bridge. That's amazing in itself. But you know what? God said, 7 days, no talk! Of course, there were no women there. It's true. This is biblical. I'm just preaching the Bible, nothing else. You know, God had a purpose. He knew why He wanted them to be quiet. And you could think, what for? What else is the fruit of it? But you know what? While that was going on, loads is happening. Loads was happening. Where? In the hearts of the Israelites. This is where it grows. This is where it grows. Loads was happening. Now, It is so important to keep this now in mind, because when your world falls apart, everything goes wrong, and you think, what is going on in my life? What is the purpose? What is God doing? What am I going to do? And you just don't know what to do. And then it is very important, when you may be feeling spiritually dried out, maybe you've got big work problems, big health problems, friendship problems, grandkids problems, any other problems, then you can be sure that the wine dresser is at work. And he wants to promote you. Be sure that when you endure in faith, the fruit will be wonderful. At the moment, you may not feel anything, because it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Very, very important. When they went around Jericho, they walked by faith, not by sight. Now, listen. This man just started a diet. Now, as you know, and I know, it's not easy. It's not easy. So he started. 1 week later, he looks like that. 2 weeks later, he still looks like that. Now we come to a very, very essential point. He needs to decide, am I going to continue? I haven't really seen much change. It is very tough going. Is it any point? But then he continues, he goes to the gym, he does eat healthy, he goes on, and then after a few months later, he looks like that. Oh, I so wished we could just press a button and it would happen. But the point is, it's not easy, because we don't see much. It's not easy when you go around Jericho because you don't see much. Everyone who wants to see fruit will go through a time of trial. It's just normal. It's a very normal process. Waiting and growing process is very normal. It is so logical. You take a seed, you put it into the soil, and what do? You wait. Correct. Wait. Men are not good in waiting. Women either. All of us, really. It's hard. Why? Because you don't see anything. Oh, nothing has come out yet. Next time, nothing, 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 nothing. Is it going to work? Yes. Why? There's something happening under the soil. And if you keep giving water and expose it to the sun, suddenly something is going to peek out. Because it's a process of faith. You know, while you wait, this is the most sensitive time, the most important time of the whole fruit bearing. What do? While you wait? You pray and you bring all your troubles to the altar, to God. You bring everything in your life, all the problems, everything which bothers you, bring it to God. Because if not, you will have major problems in the process. Before David became king, and he already was anointed by Samuel to become king, he was faithful in the small things. Day by day, he looked after his sheep and he played on his harp. And he could have said, what do I waste my time for here out every day with the sheep? Why do I do that? And come home smelly and need a shower every day? I am anointed for King of Israel. I have got a task to do in the kingdom of God, and I'm talented. I can play my harp. I could use all these talents for God. But what did he do? He didn't do anything of that. He went after the sheep day after day. It's called being faithful. 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 I could give you another sermon just about faith, being faithful. So important. Such an important attribute in our walk, in our Christian walk. When the old boring Monday morning comes again, for those who work, when I was in the bank, we did have more space than that. But you know, sometimes you just need to go on faithfully. Every week in, week out, you live for God. You make that decision in your heart. You say, no matter what, I am following God. I do the right thing because it is right. And you keep walking before God with a humble heart. That's when God can take your life like he did David's. And you become more and more fruitful. Because the seed is growing inside. Nobody else sees it, not even you. But God sees it. Praise God. Praise God. Now it's time, I think I need to finish here. Maybe very, very, very quickly. I remember very well when I was in the bank, still in Switzerland, I had such a desire to go to Africa. I remember I was in front of that screen of the computer and my thoughts were literally in Africa. And I thought God is going to open the door right now, very soon, because he's given me such a big burden for Africa. And you know what? Nothing happened. The whole world just collapsed. And then God led me to Scotland to Bible school. And then I thought, now I'm here in cold Scotland instead of warm Africa. What went wrong? But I'm telling you, I loved Bible college. You can ask my wife, I was the happiest student out of all. She wasn't, yeah, you ask her, Yeah, that's good, I like it. I like it, yeah. You know, God has opened the door only 20 years later. Because he knew I wouldn't have been ready. And there was no way I could do that, what I'm doing now. Impossible. But while we wait, endure by faith in the dry times, and be like the tree we read of in Jeremiah 17, and I want to close with this. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Endure and abide in him. Because the fruit is growing. There is good news. God wants to promote you. Thank you, Lord, that you are in charge of our lives. And you prune us, you clip us, and sometimes we do not understand why things are happening. We just don't know. We would love to know. But Lord, help us tonight to just trust you afresh with our lives. We want to trust you and know you don't make any mistakes. Even though things may look so chaotic at the very moment. We can't find any sense. We want to make one decision right now. Jesus, you are doing a good work in us, and we want to trust you because God is good all the time. Amen.